now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are listening to the Commissioner's Conversation, and I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How y'all feeling out there, man? Everything good? Are you enjoying the NBA postseason? Because I know I'm enjoying watching the NBA postseason, man. It's been amazing watching Jimmy Butler wheel the Miami Heat damn near to the finals as I speak to you right now. The Miami Heat are up 3-0 on the Boston Celtics. They haven't quite yet swept them, but the game is tonight, so there's a chance that we'll get the second sweep in conference finals. I mean, I don't know if that's a record. I don't know if anybody has had both conference finals end in sweeps. I think, yeah, I'd have to look that up. I don't think that's ever been done. But we're here. And like I said, Jimmy Butler has been looking like the dog that I told you he was last time we talked. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have been looking subpar. The rumors have started back up that they need to be traded or separated and then maybe bring in possibly Dame Lillard. We'll get into that. We'll get into those trade rumors coming up. But big congratulations to the Denver Nuggets. Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, all those guys. They got LeBron James the hell up out of here, man. LeBron looked officially old. I don't know if you watched it. That man looked old. He looked tired. He looked worn out. And he looked like he wanted to beat the hell out of AD for not giving him no damn help. Like, when you need Anthony Davis to help out in the stretch, when you're paying him all that money, when you go out and you recruit Anthony Davis and everybody's telling you he's the next great, he's the next generational talent, he doesn't do a damn thing. He's had some great games. He's had some games where you've seen the potential on display, but he can't put the games back-to-back together consistently. This should have been his series, his postseason, to tell LeBron to get on his back and he carry you there. LeBron should have switched to Robin, just like Dwayne Wade did for LeBron down in the Heat. LeBron should have been handing the keys over to Anthony Davis, but Anthony Davis has shown that he can't drive the damn car. So, I mean, personally, I think I would put in a vote for Anthony Davis as being one of the most overrated players in NBA history. If you don't like it, if you disagree, if you agree, feel free to hit me up on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at G Robinson Sports. Facebook, Commissioner Gordon. Type it in. I'm there. But that's just me. Like, I don't know how you feel. But we'll start to get into some of those rumors about what's going on around the league now that the finals are upon us, pretty much. And we'll also get into Carmelo Anthony has retired. And anybody will tell you Carmelo Anthony was probably one of my favorite players. And I hate how it ended for him around the league, but I'll get into that also. So without any further ado, man, let's get into the conversation.
Commissioner Gordon.
First, let's attack these rumors, man, because I woke up this morning. Everybody was talking about LeBron James retiring because of the speech they heard him make last night. He didn't really say he was going to retire. He just said that, I mean, the dude is tired. I don't think he's going to retire. I think the man is just tired, dog. I think he still wants to play with Bronny. He's talked about that for years now. He wants to get Bronny in the league, and he wants to play with his son as probably the first father-son duo to be on the same team playing together in NBA history. He wants to put that, you know, add that title to his NBA resume. And I think he was just fed up last night. He was fed up, like I was just saying before, I think he was fed up with all the bullshit that's been going on with the team. Like, when you can count on Austin Reeves more than you can count on Anthony Davis, I think there's a problem. And I know Anthony Davis has his hands full with Nikola Jokic, and he's, you know, trying to play defense, but he's doing a shitty job of that. Nikola Jokic is still putting up triple-doubles. Like, you can just put it in the book when he get out of bed, triple-double. It's just how many. Is he going to score 53 points, or is he going to score 30 points? What is he going to do? Is he going to get 20 assists, or is he going to get 12 assists? What is he going to do? But he's getting the triple-double. You're not stopping anything. And I said that before. I said before that it was going to be tough for Nikola Jokic to play defense against Anthony Davis, and it was going to be tough for Anthony Davis to play defense against Nikola Jokic, because it's two different styles. Anthony Davis tried. He gave us a game or two where he really was fighting in the paint. He was going. He was getting rebounds. He was getting buckets in the paint, and he was trying to be inside. And I don't think he liked it very much. He can't do it. Like, I think he's a guy who has his entire career has basically been work outside in, not inside out. Work outside in. I'm going to work outside. I'm going to show you my handles. I have this point guard mentality because I think he grew 5-6 inches, 7-8 inches, however many inches. Like, from the time he was about 14, 15 to the time he was 17. He went from like 5'11 to like 6'6, 6'7 in a summer. Some stupid stuff like that. So he's always had this point guard like mentality. And it hasn't changed. Just because you grow to 7 feet tall don't mean you want to be inside the paint and banging. I mean, look at the draft nowadays. We're about to draft a number one draft pick in Victor Wembanyama, 7'5". But he out on the wing shooting threes. Keep in mind, when he shot the three, when it came off the rim, he dunked it back. Just because he has that length. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, we got 7 feet guys who are out here. Kevin Durant, 7 feet tall. He ain't trying to bang with you. But I go back to just take it back to LeBron just to say, man, listen, LeBron was out there and he was literally trying to carry the entire team last night. LeBron James played every single minute minus 4 seconds in the first half. He got a break. Somebody called a timeout. It was a dead ball somewhere around there. 4 seconds left in the first half. He was able to go to the locker room early so he can sit his ass down. But he played the entire game. And you could tell that whooped his ass. Like, he ain't no spring chicken no more. That 38 is 38, man. Like, phew. You trying to play a whole basketball game? A championship level basketball game? We got to leave it all on the line type basketball game? Or we send our ass home? It's tough. It's a lot of energy. But I don't think he's going to retire. Like, he's going to have to put the pressure on the Los Angeles Lakers this offseason to put a lot of talent around him. I don't know how the Lakers are going to do it. They don't have a lot of commodities at hand that they can trade with other teams. They don't have it. Like, so for instance, I saw a rumor today. It sounded really stupid. Just because Trae Young has been at the games, somebody's talking about the Lakers want to trade for Trae Young. And I will ask you, like I've been asking everyone on Twitter, and no one has answered the damn question. If you were the Hawks, what the hell do the Los Angeles Lakers have to give you that's going to make you say, oh, okay, we'll trade the guy that we've been building around for the past four years. Yeah, we'll do that. Cool. So that you, Los Angeles Lakers, can try to win another championship. To hell with us trying to win a championship. We want to see y'all succeed. What does the Los Angeles Lakers have? What do they have on their roster? They don't even have Austin Reeves right now. He's a free agent. They have to sign him. We damn sure don't want D'Angelo Russell. He ain't did shit in four games. Hell, I would venture to say, at this point in time, I don't want Anthony Davis. You couldn't give me AD for Trae Young. I'd say no thank you. Throw in some draft picks. Or better yet, throw in LeBron, old ass. Give me AD and LeBron, and I'll give you Trae Young. Of which you would respond that would negate the trade because that, you know, that would be the whole reason or purpose for the trade, so they could pair him up with Trae Young. But what do the Los Angeles Lakers have? And if they did get Trae Young, they'd have to squeeze enough room under the cap to fill out the rest of the roster. Yes, you could probably get AD, you could probably get LeBron, you could probably get Trae Young, you could probably get Austin Reeves for like $10, $12 million if he wants to sign for that, because things I'm hearing, the things that I'm seeing, people are talking about this man can get Jordan Poole money. And if you don't know what Jordan Poole money is, he could get around $20 million a year. And if I could get $20 million a year, to hell with the Los Angeles Lakers, I'll go play basketball in Buffalo. I play basketball in San Antonio. I play basketball in Oklahoma City. If I'm coming from a guy who didn't get drafted and you telling me that I can, after a year of playing around with LeBron James and showing what I could do, that I can now turn that into a $20 million a year career, or you could sign with the Lakers for $10 million. Man, the hell with LA. I'll take the 20 mil. Unless LeBron finna sign me under the table to some of these Nike deals or some of these Clutch Sports deals, which I'm sure he's not gonna do. So, once again, Trae Young to LA, good luck with that. You don't have a damn thing I want. If I send you Trae Young, I don't want draft picks because your draft picks gonna suck. You're gonna be going deep into the playoffs. Who the hell want a number 27 draft pick? But, I mean, you know, y'all keep running with this stuff, man. Y'all see on Twitter and all these little rumors y'all see on social media. I also have seen Kyrie Irving to the Los Angeles Lakers, which, you know, I think that makes more sense just because, you know, LeBron has been eyeing Kyrie for the longest. Those rumors have been out there for the longest. Those rumors amplified once you saw that D'Lo wasn't doing nothing. D'Angelo Russell was just out on the floor. I think they took him out of the starting lineup and just put in Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder was more productive. So Kyrie Irving makes sense. But then, once again, you have to have both parties in agreement on a trade. If I'm Dallas, I don't want D'Angelo Russell. What do you have to give me? If I'm going to sign and trade Kyrie Irving to the LA Lakers, What do you have to give me that I, in good faith, can show my star player in Luka Doncic that we're trying to build a championship team, that I can show my fans in the city of Dallas that they should spend their hard-earned money to come see my team because we're trying to build a champion? What do you have to give? The Lakers don't have anything. Go look at the roster. They don't have anything to give. So I don't know. I'm sure they'll make the Kyrie thing work at some point in time. LeBron wants it bad enough. It'll happen. I'm sure he can cut a deal with Mark Cuban, but I just don't see the Trae Young thing happening at all. You want to lose Atlanta? You want to lose a fan base? Trade Trae Young. And watch State Farm Arena be empty. Because you're not bringing anything back. You're not bringing anything back of value. Now, one that I have heard that I kind of liked was Damian Lillard to the Boston Celtics. And this would basically be a swap for Jaylen Brown for Dame Lillard. I haven't looked at their contracts. I'm assuming there's something similar. But I know that Jaylen Brown is going to be looking for, it would have to be a sign and trade. Jaylen Brown would be looking to be, to get a max contract. Dame, I'm sure Portland has given him a max contract. So you could match, the money would match. I'd be pissed if I was Jaylen Brown. You shipping me out to Portland, you know. But the money would match. The deal would work in Boston's favor. You're pairing Dame Lillard up with Jason Tatum. That would mean you would have to do, I mean, I guess that would put Marcus Smart on the bench, or you'd have to get rid of Marcus Smart because you no longer need him. I mean, I have a playmaker. You know, I appreciate Marcus Smart's grittiness. I appreciate his hustle. I appreciate his, you know, he's been the leader that you could visibly tell on the floor, but now I have that in Dame Lillard. So you can dye your hair black again. You don't have to have it green any longer because your services will probably no longer be needed. But I like Dame to Boston. I mean, I like to see where it goes. You'd still have to construct more pieces around them. You still have to put another guy in the wing. You have to find, you know, still have to get some more help in the paint. I don't know how long Al Horford plans on going. You know, I don't know if this is the swan song. If Boston gets bounced tonight, I don't know if he continues. But even if he does continue, you still have to get some help inside. You still have to get some help on the wing. So you would still need to get something else, some more pieces added. You still have to explore free agency or try to make trades with a Toronto. Toronto has a plethora of wings that they don't know what to do with. They got three of the same guy. You got Scottie Burns, you got OG Anunoby, you got Pascal Siakam. You have to get one of those guys. So you still need some wings. So, and with that, like I said, maybe you can put a Marcus Smart in there and package him up with a couple draft picks. And maybe work out, you got Dame Lillard, Jason Tatum, and a Siakam. Sounds like a healthy friend, you know, a healthy run to me. But we'll see how it plays out, man. Rumors are rumors until, you know, somebody actually puts some action to it. And right now, it's just guys like me out here, social media, kicking around ideas and seeing if it stick. Nobody knows what some of these GMs are doing actually behind closed doors and what they think about for real. We just go out here, throw shit on the wall and see if it stick.
Commissioner Gordon.
Now, Carmelo Anthony has retired from the NBA after 19 seasons. And I said earlier, I mentioned it, that if anybody knows me, they knows that Carmelo Anthony was one of my favorite players. And it stemmed all the way. Like, I remember watching the game that was on ESPN when LeBron was young and they were playing Oak Hill and they were playing Carmelo Anthony. And I was like, you know, yeah, LeBron's dope, but that kid's dope too. And then Carmelo proceeds to go to Syracuse during LeBron's senior year. And all he did was take Syracuse all the way to the national title and win it. He captured the hearts and the minds of everyone who watched college basketball because this dude was a scoring machine. And, you know, defensive-wise, it was, you know, because he was hidden in Jim Boeheim's, you know, 1-3-1. You know what I'm saying? You don't really have to be a defensive stopper to be in one of the most storied zone schemes. You know what I'm saying? Boeheim is known for that zone. You don't have to be a defensive shutdown stopper. You don't have to be one of those guys. But then that transferred over to the NBA. And really, when he got to the league, he continued to score. The man is a 10-time NBA All-Star. He made 6 All-NBA teams. He had the scoring title in 2013. He currently, as it stands right now, upon his retirement, ranks 9th all-time in points scored. He's won 3 gold medals and 1 bronze medal, I believe, in the Olympics. He was named to the All-75 team, to the NBA 75th anniversary team. Carmelo Anthony's there. But, you know, people base a lot of stuff off what they've seen lately. We live in a what have you done for me lately type world. And lately, Carmelo has been, for whatever reason, not picked up. Maybe it's because of money. You know, maybe people have bought into the hype of when he was in New York, the ISO Melo, where the ball basically stopped when it got to Carmelo Anthony. And I'll contend and tell anybody, because if you watch basketball enough, you know that that was the damn offense. The ball didn't stop because Melo was a vacuum or a ball hog. The ball stopped because that was the offense. Mike Woodson was in New York coaching the Knicks, and that was his offense. He ran an isolation offense. He came up in a time in the 70s and early 80s in the NBA when that's what they ran. Get your star on one side, get your others on the other side, and let your star go to work one-on-one. Look at the old games. Look at when Michael Jordan came to the league. What was Doug Collins and all those guys telling you they were doing? Put the ball in Mike's hands and everybody get the hell out of the way. That was the defense. I mean, that was the offense. Because at that time, the league wanted to showcase the talent. The league wanted to showcase the stars. So they ran these isolation offenses, of which Woody never changed. He never adapted. When he was the head coach at Atlanta Hawks, it was ISO Joe. You put the ball in Joe Johnson's hands and everybody else get your ass on the other side of the court. Let me work. It was the offense. But because he was in New York, because he was in the spotlight and everybody saw that, everybody put it on Carmelo. But when he went to the Olympics, when he played with Team USA and he got under the coach like Coach Krzyzewski, everybody talked about how much of a joy he was, how willing he was to do whatever it took for the team to win. But all we see is when he gets traded and he goes to OKC, I believe it was with Paul George, and somebody asked him about coming off the bench, and he laughs. He's like, yo, P, they talking about I got to come off the bench. Which was funny because why would he come off the bench in Oklahoma City? Who was playing in front of him? So, yeah, Melo's been one of my favorite players. And it followed up with Adam Silver. After Melo announced that he would be retiring, Adam Silver was talking about it, and he congratulated. That's NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, by the way. I don't think I should have to say that. But he congratulated him. He called Carmelo Anthony an all-time NBA great. And followed that up with saying, I look forward to seeing you in the Hall of Fame. But here we are at a point as fans, as commentators, as media, as just observers of the game, here we are at a point where all you do, we've been suckered in to measure the greatness of a player by how many rings he has. Don't let them do that to you. Don't let them fool you, because we just got finished talking about Dame Lillard. Dame Lillard is dope. Everybody who watches basketball knows he's dope. And guess what? As of right now, today, he doesn't have a ring. But does that make him less impressive as a basketball player? Allen Iverson was a monster. When Allen Iverson stepped on the floor, everyone on the other team was afraid. Everybody tied their shoes extra tight. Everybody got their ankles taped up a little bit tighter, because I don't want AI to put me in the spin cycle. I don't want AI to cross me up like he did Michael Jordan. I don't want AI to have to shake me out my shoes. AI didn't win a ring, but that man is amazing on the basketball court. You can't take it away from him. He's great. Charles Barkley, all the shit Charles talked, all the shit between him and Shaq tell you, I got the rings. How many rings you got, Chuck? Charles Barkley was dope. I'm old enough to remember. Old enough to watch. I remember Charles Barkley in the 76ers. I remember the round mound and rebound. I remember him snatching rebounds, putting it on the floor, going coast to coast, just to bang on you at the other end of the court. You understand? Charles Barkley was a monster. He's not just out here laughing and joking and talking shit just for talking sake. He was like that. He was a difference maker on the floor. Didn't win a ring. Reggie Miller did all he could to get those Indiana Pacers teams to an NBA Finals, to a conference final. Didn't win a ring. That man scored like 12 points in 7 seconds to win the game, to beat New York. Couldn't win a ring. Does that make him any less impressive as a basketball player? But we fall into now at, oh, because we have this GOAT talk. And shouts out to my dog, Leeko Brown. I think he put it on Facebook too. Like, don't let, the same thing that I'm saying that he's saying. Two things could be one. Don't let your love for Michael Jordan eclipse the fact that you know LeBron James is great. They both can be two things can be true. I can say Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time, and I can also say LeBron James is probably one of the greatest players we've ever seen on the basketball floor. The man can do everything. But I can also turn around and say a player is dope, but he's not a champion. He's great, but he's not a champion. Patrick Ewing was dope. Not a champion. You understand what I'm saying? You can go back through the archives. There was a lot of great players who didn't win rings. So don't fall for the hype. Don't let these guys fool you into believing that the only way that you can be revered and be looked at as a legend in the NBA or be looked at as an all-time talent in the NBA or a Hall of Famer at that you have to win the ring. Yes, a ring is nice. Yes, a ring validates you. It helps. It's a resume builder. But it's not the end all be all. It's not the default. There's a lot of great players. Like I said, a lot of great players that came through and didn't win a ring. And Carmelo Anthony happened to be one of those players who came through. He did not win a ring. But man, was he a dude to watch. I mean, it was masterful. When he was in his prime, Kobe Bryant said that the toughest player for him to guard was Carmelo Anthony. Because it was like trying to guard a bull. He just couldn't do it. And he knew that Carmelo was going to attack him like he was going to attack Carmelo on the opposite end. And those guys had some battles while Carmelo was out in Denver. But again, I say, don't be fooled. Don't fall for the bait of if you don't win a ring, then you're not a great player. Because what you're going to do is you're going to miss out on a bunch of good basketball trying to chase the clout, trying to chase the ring. And I'm sitting here looking at a poster of Dominique Wilkins. Dominique Wilkins. Man. My childhood. Like, he won slam dunk contest. The dude was more than just a slam dunker. He could play basketball. He didn't win a ring. But ESPN, these major networks that just want clickbait, that just want you to argue and just want debate segments, they'll tell you that the ring is the thing and all else, nothing else matters. So, again, I say, Carmelo Anthony, congratulations on your career. I look forward to what you may do next in your endeavors. I also look forward to your son coming up and seeing what he may do, if he may follow into your footsteps in his game. I see you coaching him a lot. Salute to you. And I look forward to the future, man.
Commissioner Gordon.
Thank you for tuning in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I encourage you to go to my Instagram account at the.commissioner.gordon. I encourage you to follow me on Twitter at G Robinson Sports. I encourage you to follow me at Commissioner Gordon Robinson on Facebook. Check me out. We'll have a good time. We continue to talk, carry over some of these conversations, man, and continue to listen in right here on the Commissioner's Conversation each and every week. Until next week, I'll holler.
Commissioner Gordon.